To Divine Inspiration by Dantisha James. Today we're going to talk about which life you choose, heaven or hell. Yes, that's the topic today. Which life you choose, heaven or hell. God is the possessor of heaven. Heaven is the location of the stars as well as the source of dew. Heaven is also dwelling place of God. It is the source of the New Jerusalem. Because of the work of Christ on the cross, heaven is, in part, present with believers on earth as they obey God's commands. What is heaven? Heaven is a word that expresses several distinct concepts in the Bible. In the times of Jesus, the Valley of Hinnom was used as the garbage dump of Jerusalem. Into it were thrown all the filth and garbage of the city, including dead bodies of animals and executed criminals. To consume all this, fires burn consistently. Maggots worked in the filth. When the wind blew from the directions over the city, its awfulness was quite evident. At night, wild dogs howled as they fought over the garbage. Jesus uses this awful scene as a symbol of hell. In effect, he said, "Do you want to know what hell is like? Look at Gehenna." So hell may be described as God's cosmic garbage dump. All that is unfit for heaven will be thrown into hell. And what is hell? Hell is the place of eternal punishment for unrighteousness. Are you ready to get into the word of God? I am so ready to get into the word of God. Let's go into Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 47 through 50. And this is what the word of God says. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashes of teeth. And so in the parable of the net, Christ emphasizes again that not all who are in the visible kingdom are truly children of God. Churches and Christians organizations are not similar with the true people of God, who consist of all believers living in true faith and righteousness. In the parable of the net, the separating of the wicked from the righteous at the end of the age is given in the same order as it is, in the same order as that in the parable of the weeds and wheat. All who do evil are gathered first, then the righteous are gathered second. This order clearly shows that the separation occurs at the end of the tribulations and not at the rapture, at which time the faithful of Christ's church are gathered from among the wicked. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 says this, "Since you have kept my commands to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." In this parable, Christ stresses that among God's people, there will be many who are not truly loyal to him in his word. You hear that? It says there will be many that's not truly loyal to him in his word. They might look like it, but see, God sees behind the outside. He looks at the heart. He looks at if we have a relationship with him. He looks and see, are we having a praying and we getting his word? Are we studying his word? Are we having an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father? See, he knows the truth. Let's get back into the word of God. Let's go into John chapter 5, and I want to read verse 25 through 29. And the word of God says this, "Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. And so, Jesus Christ's own nature is a source of eternal life. It is inherent within him. God, however, has not given believers the power to have eternal life inherent in themselves. We have life only as we fellowship with Jesus Christ. Christ living in us through a living faith relationship, according to the scriptures, judgment is always upon the basis of deeds, or a manifestation of his or her faith in the inner condition. This means that we will be judged not by our profession of faith in Christ, but by the life we have lived. Let me say this again, because that's very, very important for all of us. This means that we will be judged not by our profession of faith in Christ, but by the life we have lived on this earth. So let's look at the word of God. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, it says this: so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. You heard that? So it said each of us will give an account to ourselves to God. And backing me up, what I just now said before, we got this scripture. So let's keep moving on. Immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and the like of having no place in the lives of believers, those who teach contrary to teaching of Christ and the apostles, that a person can have eternal life while living outside of fellowship with Christ, are teaching the ultimate deception. It leads them and their followers to trust in a false doctrine of internal security. The words of Jesus must be heeded. The words of Jesus must be heeded. The words of Jesus Christ must be heeded. All that are in the grave should come forth. They have that have done evil until the resurrection of damnation. You got to understand, our God is not a God who lies. Our God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so Jesus is letting us know that, yes, it's going to be a heaven, but it's also going to be a hell too. And what we do on this earth is what we show on our fruit of who we are. And yes, we can be believers and still going through the process of being converted and being filled with the Holy Spirit, but we got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We got to get into his word. We got to worship our Father. We got to pray to him. We got to have an intimate relationship with him. We can't pretend, because our God knows all things. He sees all things. There's nothing under the sun that God does not see and does not know. So it's a part of our life that we got to make up in our mind to start renewing this mind so we can turn from our wicked ways. Because if we don't renew our mind and don't get into the word of God, and we can't turn from our wicked ways, we will keep going in circles over the same old things and repeating the same old cycles of sin, which you know is not right with God. Because you know that in your heart, you get convicted by the Holy Spirit and your conscience tells you. Let's go back into the word of God. Let's go into Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 22. And the word of God says this: I consider that our present suffering are not worth compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up into the present time. And so sin has caused all creation to fall from the perfect state in which God created it. So the world is subject to frustration and bondage to decay, so that it cannot fulfill its intended purpose. One day, all creations will be liberated and transformed. Until that time, it waits in eager expectation for the resurrection of God's children. Christians see the world as it is, physically decaying and spiritually infected with sin. But Christians do not need to be pessimistic, because they have hope for the future glory. They look forward to the new heaven and a new earth that God has promised, and they wait for God's new order that will free the world of sin, sickness, and evil. In the meantime, Christians go with Christ into the world where they heal people's bodies, souls, and fight the evil effects of sin in this evil world. So let's go into the Word of God. Let's go into Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 16, and let's look at this. Let's look at this man talking to Abraham, and he's over and he's in hell. But let's look at this. So in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 26, the Word of God says this. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in a luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was tormented, in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now in his comfort, here you are in agony. And besides, all this between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." And so the rich man was in agony. He was in the lake of fire of condemnation. He was in condemnation. He was asking Abraham to get him out of this, because he seen the beggar that he seen every day on this earth while he was in his riches, while he was in his luxury. And he ignored the beggar. He didn't even give the beggar no crumb, no food, no water. He ignored it, period, while he was still in his luxury. And did he died as well as the man Lazarus died? Lazarus is comfortable because he's in heaven with no more sickness, no more bad times, no more begging. He has food. He supplied all his needs because he's with his heavenly Father, which is our heavenly Father, which he said, "I am that I am." But the condemnation of the rich man, he was not in heaven. He was in hell. And Abraham saying, "Hey, I can't cross over to you, and you can't cross over to me." Where you go, condemnation and hell, damnation, that was your choice, because the life that you choose to do on this earth, and that was the choice you choose to do. You chose the luxury, but you avoid the poor. Let's keep going on. And so the Pharisees consider wealth to be a proof of a person's righteousness. Jesus started them with this story, where a diseased beggar is rewarded and a rich man is punished. The rich man did not go to hell because of his wealth, but because he was selfish, refusing to feed the Lazarus, take him in, or care for him. The rich man was hard-hearted in spite of his great blessings. So let us not get so fooled up because we see some people so rich and so wealthy in a luxury, because they might be in the wrong motives and they might be going to damnation of hell. Now, all rich people will. Because some people who's rich and wealthy, they give to the poor. They help people out. They give their good deeds and they can go home with heaven. But look at this. The amount of money we have is not as important as the way we use it. What is your attitude towards your money and your possessions? Do you hoard them selfishly, or do you use them to help others? The rich man thought that his five brothers would surely believe a message who had been raised from the dead. But Jesus said that if they did not believe Moses and the prophets who spoke consistently of the duty of the care for the poor, not even a resurrection will convince them. Jesus' statement on his way to Jerusalem died. He was fully aware that even when he had risen from the dead, that most of the religious leaders would not accept him. They were so set in their ways, and neither scriptures nor God's sons himself would shake themselves loose, because they want to pick God in a box. They want to put him in a box, and this is the way it goes, and this is what the scripture says. But they don't believe that God is still a living God, and about faith, and his spirit's living in us, and he's moving in a different way. They were too caught up in their own way. And so they was like the Pharisees and Deuces. They did not believe it. So guess what? They went to damnation, which was hell. So we have a choice. The life that we live now, we can either live for heaven or we can live the life to go to damnation, to hell. It is our choice. Thank you so much for listening to Divine Inspiration. God bless you. Bye.